Hey, I want to welcome a very special guest into our studio who has taken time out of his busy schedule to drop by today. He is Brad Finstead. He's with the Center for Rural Policy and Development. And today we're going to talk about a little bit of a legislative update.
Yeah. They're in the cold's not slowing them down right now. You know, we can look at it this way. We're going to have a heat wave next week, and let's just count the days with no mosquitoes.
Let's look at it that way.
Yeah. So the legislature, they're in session. Everyone hold on. No one's safe. And they're moving fast and furious. We've seen a lot of action just in the last couple of weeks in regards to, you know, some political posturing, some movement on some controversial bills or maybe some key bills already this early in the session. So what we're really seeing, I think, is everyone getting their sea legs, trying to figure out how do I work with that guy or how do I work with that gal? What does she care about? What does he care about? Mm-hmm. Really getting to know each other. It's the dance that happens.
Sure. And in this particular case, there are a lot of new faces and a lot of new freshly scrubbed faces up there. And so people on a pretty steep learning curve. And it kind of goes both ways, as you say, because you've got to understand where all these new people are coming from politically, what sorts of things they're really after.
Yeah, there was just such a large amount of turnover, both new members beating incumbents and also retirements. You're looking at almost a half the legislature being new.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of education going on. But as we all know, the state's broke, and we only have so much time for education and so much time for actual action. So
yeah.
We're starting to see some action. The House and Senate Republicans have introduced a bill to essentially make permanent former Governor Pawlenty's unallotment strategy that he did over the last couple of years. It's about $1 billion worth of structural long ongoing cuts, permanent cuts.
Mm-hmm.
They've introduced a bill to do that. It is met with some uncertainty from the governor's office. He's indicated that he's interested in taking a look at the entire budget package as a whole, not piecemealing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a certain amount of politics, but interesting nonetheless.
Do we know, do we have a target date for the State of the State address? Usually the new governor or any governor around this time of the year is giving that address, right?
Yeah. I think it was just released yesterday or today, and it's going to be February 9th, high noon in the House chambers. So it'll be interesting. You know, that's about a week before the February forecast, the economic forecast that the state puts out in regards to what we're going to have from revenues and projected spending, and it'll really be that last dollar amount or that last number, last spreadsheet that the legislature and the governor will have to really craft the budget for the next biennium.
Right. We know it's going to be a massive deficit. We don't maybe know the exact number, but it's they're not going to make up $6.5 billion, in one quarter. So that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be $6+ billion. There's going to be a debate on how you look at that number. You know, there's two versions to look at it. One, that's an actual real deficit based on inflationary items put into the current budget, just the price of doing business in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side that looks at it as it's counting inflation and automatic growth in government. We shouldn't just assume government's going to automatically grow.
Uh-huh.
So that there's debate about the number, but the reality is there's going to be tough decisions,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to affect most everyone in Minnesota.
All right. Brad Finstead, president of the Center for Rural Policy and Development. Brad, thanks so much for dropping in and sharing with us about kind of that legislative update. It's really appreciated. I know that you stay very close to that kind of activity, as well as all the work that you do at the Center for Rural Policy and Development, helping to educate legislators and others across the state about stuff like this. So appreciate it.